I want to go to the book of Acts tonight for a few moments. And I have something that I want to share tonight, and I do believe it's important. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." I want to talk for a few moments about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I watched online our service out in Orange County, and that church is just really having a move of God right now. And I don't ever want us to feel disconnected as a church here. We broke a record about 3-4 weeks ago. We had over 5,500 people in the three services on Sunday. And it's pretty amazing what God is doing. But it really stirred this up in my heart. I've been carrying this message around in my Bible. I've never preached this before, but I want to share with you the importance of the Holy Spirit in your walk with God. There were three feasts that the Jews still to this day celebrate primarily. Three major feasts: the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's important not that you participate in those feasts, because that Christ has brought a new and better covenant. But the symbol of those feasts are for us to partake of spiritually today. Now, what does that mean? What am I saying? I want to talk about these three feasts real quick. First of all, there was the Feast of Passover. The Feast of Passover, when I say feast, a modern way of saying it would be like a holiday. It was a big 4th of July type celebration three times a year when they would come together with their families, like a Christmas or Thanksgiving, 4th of July. Huge, fun, exciting, lots of food, celebration. But it was always tied to the remembrance of something in their history. Just like the 4th of July would be for us. The Feast of Passover, of course, was connected to Jesus, the Lamb. And let me just break it down for you exactly how that happened. According to the Scripture, on the Day of Atonement, the Lamb had to be offered to cover the people's sins. It could not remove their sin, but it would cover their sin. The sin was there, but the blood of a sacrificial lamb would cover the sins of the people. At exactly 9 a.m., according to the Bible, at 9 a.m., the lamb had to be slaughtered. And at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, it would then be offered in a fire to be burned. And then the sacrifice would of the blood of the animal would be sprinkled, and the high priest would go in. And that was the feast of that is called the Feast of Passover. Now, what is important about that is, of course, it's a picture of Christ. Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. Jesus died at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. They took his body down and put him in the tomb. And then, of course, his blood, this is a big part to rejoice over, did not cover our sin. It removed our sin. We don't have any sin. We don't comprehend how righteous we are before the throne of God. It's not like we have sin that's been covered up. His blood has forever removed sin from the attachment to our life. Man, if you can't praise God over anything else, get a clear, clean, conscious revelation of the fact I am truly righteous and forgiven, not on my works or my merits, but the blood of Jesus didn't cover my past. It has removed it. And God said, I'll never remember it again. Let's take a praise right there. Praise break. Lord, I praise you for that. And then to bring it on home, the Apostle Paul really brings it home when he says in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Christ is our Passover lamb. So that's the feast of Passover, and everybody wants to partake of that feast and probably has in this room. The feast of Passover, the celebration of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. It is, of course, connected to the angel, and when they were in the Egyptian bondage and the angel, death angel, came through, and when he saw the blood on the lamb of the doorpost, he said, I'll pass over that house and I'll go to the house that doesn't have blood on it. That is the celebration of the Passover feast. Then there was the Feast of Pentecost. The word Pentecost scares a lot of people for some reason. And I get why, because there's been a lot of weirdness attached to the word Pentecost. There's been a lot of extremism. There's even been snake handlers and tambourines and legalism and crazy stuff that has nothing to do with Pentecost. Actually, the word Pentecost just means 50. That's all that it means. There's nothing to be, are you scared of that? 50. That's all that it means, 50 days, because he told them to, it's 50 days after the crucifixion. Count 50 days, and that is Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the crucifixion. So what is that about? Now, this is beautiful. You got to see this. The Feast of Pentecost for the Jewish people was a celebration. God commanded them. Again, it was a huge party that had a remembrance to it of something in their history. What was the remembrance? It was when the law was given on Mount Sinai, when Moses was called by God to assemble the people around the base of Mount Sinai. And when they gathered around the base of that mountain, there were some things that happened. First, the cloud of God's presence came down upon that mountain. And the Bible said there was a loud thunder sound, that sounded, and the people trembled. And then fire fell on that mountain. And not only that, God, with a fiery finger, wrote the Ten Commandments, and Moses took the commandments, came down off of the mountain, saw the people worshiping the golden calf. The judgment fell on 3,000 of them when he brought the law. The law brought death. The law brought death to 3,000. The first thing the law did, as soon as it came off of the mountain, still sizzling from the finger of God writing the Ten Commandments, it killed 3,000 people. Just like that. They were slain, dead. And lastly, the Feast of Pentecost meant the establishment of the nation of Israel. This is the first time they become a nation beginning that day. Now fast forward to the New Testament day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. What happened? On the day of Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit descended upon the upper room. It was a mountain that Pentecost was about. Maybe that's why they were in an upper room. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit descended, and just like on the original day of Pentecost, with a loud sound and thunder and fire, on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound from a mighty rushing wind sound that the people heard. Not only a sound, but fire fell in the upper room, and there were cloven tongues like as a fire that set upon each of them. And whereas the law brought death to 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and 3,000 received eternal life. And just as the nation of Israel was established on the day of Pentecost, the church was birthed and established and began on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament. So this is a powerful, powerful understanding when you begin to understand that. And then there's the third feast, and I'm going to make a point out of this. The third feast was the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was a celebration of remembering the wanderings of the children of Israel for the 40 years that they wandered in what would now be known as Saudi Arabia. A lot of that area would be where they wandered for 40 years, how they had no certain dwelling place. They lived in tents. They lived in huts. The cloud covered them by day, and a cloud of fire by night that warmed them. He fed them with manna and all of that, the clothes that didn't wear out. Water came out of rocks. God supernaturally provided. And so the Feast of Tabernacles, even to this day, they put up little huts and they'll sleep out in their yards or out on their backyard deck. They'll put something up and the family will sleep out under a tent-like or a little hut-like thing that reminds them of the 40 years their people wandered in the wilderness. And I need to also say that, you know, the Feast of Tabernacle was not only about that, but it was about the wandering. It was about the fact that they had finally reached the promised land, their final home. It spoke of the Feast of Tabernacle had to do with the fact that they were finally home. They were finally where they wanted to be. And it was always celebrated, very important, at the harvest season. Harvest season. And then the New Testament application for you and I, the Feast of Tabernacles, reminds us of the fact that we're alien and strangers in this world. That this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And just like the children of Israel, we have no permanent dwelling place. Don't get too in love with this world, but you are to always be aware that I am a child of eternity. And that I'm passing through and I have a mission while I'm here. But one day I'm going to leave the tent behind and I'm going to inhabit a place that He has prepared for me. I'm headed to my promised land called New Jerusalem. Not only that, but it also reminds us that there will be a great harvest when the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also known, interchangeable name here, as the Feast of Trumpets. And many of the Jews didn't understand that name, the Feast of Trumpets, but we understand it with the revelation of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is a reference of the coming of the Lord, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. The trump of God will sound, and then something's going to happen. Let me just preach it like I feel like preaching it tonight. Literally what happens every day is Jesus turns to the Father, because no man knows the hour when Jesus is coming again. Not even Jesus. Only the Father knows when the moment is right. And Jesus turns and says, is today the day? He's almost sitting on, I can almost see him in my mind, sitting on the edge of his seat. Is today the day, Father? Can I go get the bride today? No, son, no, son. But one of these days, he's going to turn and say, is today the day? And the Father's going to say, today is the day. And suddenly, Jesus is going to have a white horse. And he's going to mount that white horse and he's going to bring all the souls of the righteous dead, those who have died in faith, those who have died trusting in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. They're coming back with him and they're going to get somewhere in the atmosphere of planet Earth just above the clouds. And Jesus will pull back the reins of that white horse. He'll send the souls of the righteous dead down to earth. They'll go down into the ground 6 feet and suddenly, bones will come together. Tombstones will topple over. Mausoleums will explode with resurrection power. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're coming up bodily resurrection. They're going to come up out of the grave just like Jesus did. And when they come up, then those of us who are alive and remain will feel a strange sensation. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. We're going to shed our earth suit and put on our Holy Ghost space suit. And we're going to begin to lose gravitation. And here's the beautiful part. We're going to be caught up together with our loved ones and go to the other side together into our promised land forever and forever and forever. Let's praise God for that promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's going to happen. That's how we can rejoice at a funeral. That's how we can have hope beyond the grave. The Feast of Tabernacles is the next great event on God's prophetic clock. Jesus is coming again, and we better be ready. Put your money on the white horse. If you're a gambler, gamble on that white horse. It's going to win. The Antichrist 666 and those other four horses of the apocalypse, they're not going to win. Evil and sin is not going to win. We serve the one who is alive forevermore. And he said, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, and I have a name. I feel like preaching tonight. I have a name above every name. Everybody just take a praise break and thank him for his goodness and thank him for his plan of redemption. This old world is not our home. So a lot of people say, I get the sacrifice thing, the Passover. I get it. I like it. I'll eat that table. I'll eat from that meal. I get the tabernacle thing. I get the second coming and all of that. I like that. I have loved ones I want to see again. I take that. But man, that Feast of Pentecost, I don't know about that stuff. That's kind of weird, isn't it? That's kind of crazy, isn't it? That's kind of snake handling weirdo stuff, isn't it? No, it's not. You just heard me explain how simple it is. But tradition will rob you. Denominationalism and the teaching of man will rob you of massive blessings that God, it's so clear in the scriptures. Sometimes you don't even need to take my word for it. Actually, never. You should never take a preacher's just because the preacher said it. Sometimes we need to clean the slate and say, I'm going to read the Bible like, if you read the book of Acts, wait a minute, let me preach. If you read the book of Acts like you didn't know anything about it, would you really have a dead cold, no miracles, no healing, no signs and wonders, no nothing, just go to church and talk to my head knowledge stuff that speaks only to my intellect? Read the book of Acts like you've never read the Bible before. Everywhere you see, the Holy Spirit is moving. They're not a bunch of professionals. They're people who have been endued with power by the Holy Spirit to do the supernatural and promote the gospel and build the church. And we don't need less of that. We need more of that in this hour that we're living in. Come on and praise God, somebody. No, and that's what they said on the day of Pentecost. These people are crazy. They're drunk. Isn't that amazing? Same reaction that you get to the Holy Spirit stuff now. Stay away from those Holy Spirit. What do you mean stay away from those Holy Spirit churches? What do you mean? Stay away from that. Those people talk about the Holy Ghost. Stay away from them. What does it mean? There are three things the Holy Spirit will do when He fills you. When He baptizes you in the Holy Ghost power, He will empower you to live righteously. The law doesn't work. What the Holy Spirit did was He took the law and wrote it upon our hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He empowers us to live righteous. He turns our got to into get to, want to. He empowers us. He gives us a distaste for sin. He changes us. When the Holy Spirit comes, He empowers you to live righteously. He writes the law in our heart. He puts His Spirit in our heart. And then suddenly something changes within us when the Holy Spirit truly fills us, that we don't have to beg you to, you have a do right mind and a do right heart. And you want to please the Lord. He will enable you And you can't do it. You cannot do it by law. You cannot do it by trying to behave better. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit setting you free, delivering you, anointing you, and raising you out of that old life and old mentality and old way of living and thinking. And He totally transforms you, and you're turned into another man, another woman. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only will He help you and empower you live righteously, but secondly, the Holy Spirit will empower you to live supernaturally. Not just operate by what you can understand. Not just operate by what you're capable of doing. What you see here, what God has done here, I am not capable of, nor is our team capable of. Especially when we started, we had, and we are not now, I might add, big time. But I just want to say, you know, these buildings, and it wasn't the building that built this church. It wasn't the videos and the chandeliers and the beautiful backdrops and the slick this and slick that. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that built this church. It was supernatural empowerment, and it still is. And it's the same power that's going to build Gwinnett. We do everything excellent that we can. But when it's said and done, we're desperate for the presence of God. We're desperate for the anointing of God. We do not want to come with enticing words of man's wisdom. We want the supernatural demonstration of God's Spirit that messes people up, breaks a hard heart, tears start flowing, marriages are healed, lives are changed, addicts are set free. It happens every time. It's happening to somebody right now, and it's not the preacher, it's not all of this, it's the supernatural power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's praise God for that. If you know what I'm preaching is the truth, God help us to lean on that more than we lean on anything. Acts chapter 2 and verse 19 said, when the Holy Spirit fell, God prophesied and said, I will show wonders in the heavens and all that. But notice, I'll show wonders. One translation said, you'll say when He gets finished. I wonder how that happened. Well, when I read that, that's how I feel every time I come in here and preach. Every time I go all over the world, every time I preach some conference somewhere that I never dreamed I'd be standing preaching to, you know, people and thousands of pastors and stuff. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you, I scratch my head and I say, I wonder how this happened. Let me tell you something. If you'll get full of the Holy Spirit, you'll have a lot of those days where you'll say, my God, that contract just went through. I wonder how that happened. My Lord, have mercy. I just witnessed to that person and they got born again at a ball game in between the 50 and 40 yard line of the team. I'm telling you, we need to go back to living a supernatural life that makes us wonder, how in the world did that happen? I want my children so blessed that they will look and say, how in the world did this happen? And it won't be because of me or Cherise. It will be because the Holy Spirit blessed their life. I'm telling you, He knows how to raise you up. I'm telling you, He knows how to birth a church or a miracle or a ministry or a business. He knows how to do it. I know what I'm talking about. I have lived it. And if He could use this, He could use anything. And it's not that we're good, it's that He is awesome and He is God and He just needs a vessel. Oh, I feel something stirring in this room. How many of you would love to have some days where you say, I wonder how that happened? How in the world did we get this house? How in the world did we get this opportunity? How in the world? I wonder how that happened. I will do wonders. You need to experience the power of God. I'm glad you've gone to Passover and got born again. That's the only thing you need to get to heaven. We're not talking about getting to heaven. We're talking about living down here on earth. We're talking about fighting demons and devils and raising families. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Not a little dab, but do you? You need the baptism in the Holy Spirit until you pray in a heavenly language. Not apologizing for that. I know it's real. I do it every day of my life. Let's rejoice right now. If somebody's not getting on your nerves, I hope they do before the service is over. Praise God. Lord, we need more of the Holy Ghost. Not weirdo stuff, not freak stuff, not a freak show. The Holy Spirit. And lastly, He empowers you to fulfill your mission. You see, you have a mission. The real sign that the Holy Spirit is somewhere is people will get saved, set free, and delivered. There's a difference between, you know, helping people and the anointing that destroys every yoke. Did you hear what I said? The Bible said the anointing will destroy the yoke. There are some anointings that preachers and people can get under that it doesn't just kind of rattle the chains a little and they feel bad and shed a little tear and I got to try to do better. There is an anointing that can come that can destroy, mess people up. You throw it down and you never pick it up again. And you go out and tell the whole world, Jesus set me free. Some of you have experienced Passover and you're looking forward to experiencing Tabernacle when the trumpet sounds. Man, you ought to receive the Holy Spirit and experience Pentecost. Four times in the book of John 14 and John 16, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, the Comforter, the Comforter, the Comforter, the Comforter, the Comforter, the Comforter. Over and over and over, four times, the Comforter. How many of you have a Comforter on your bed right now in your master bedroom? Let me see your hand. How many of you have a nice one? Let me see your hand. Because there's a difference. What I've learned that is if Cherise buys something new, that like towels that she hangs up, they're not for use. You can use them if you come to my house, but if I use them, we need counseling again. There are some towels that are not for use. They're just for looks. Have you learned that yet? If you haven't, poor old dumb thing, as Dr. Rutland said, poor old dumb thing. Have you ever gotten out of the shower and needed a towel and just grabbed a new one and your wife walk in and say, what are you doing? I was taking a shower. I didn't have no clothes. I'm wet. I thought I would dry off. Not with that, you moron. That is a new towel. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. I wonder how many of us, when the Holy Spirit is called a comforter, I wonder how many of us, you know, we put the comforter out on the bed. But when it's time to go to sleep, we put it up and bring the old blanket out. And I wonder how many of us believers today have a comforter, not for use, just for looks. The Holy Spirit is not for use. We just recognize He's somebody. Let's not get weird. Let's not get crazy. He's not for use. He's just for looks. He's just part of the Godhead thing, you know? And don't get carried away with it. No, he's not just, He is the power, He is the enforcer on this planet. Without Him, we can do nothing. And never refer to Him as an it. He is a person. The Bible always refers to Him as a He or a Him. Because if he's just an object, you can't have a personal relationship with an object. But if he's a person, you can have a personal relationship with a person. And I don't want to talk about him like an object. I want to know him as a person. I want him to walk with me. I want him to comfort me. I want him to empower me. I want him to anoint me. I want him to pray through me. I want him to worship through me. I want him to witness through me. And I'm almost through. But we need the Holy Spirit power. You need a blank page approach when you read the Bible. Because I promise you, if you'll read it with a blank page approach, not all the stuff you brought, but if you'll open the Bible, I'm not here to convince anybody. I'm here to tell you that if you'll read this book, you will see there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts 19 is the classic chapter. But there are so many. If I had time, I could take you all through the Bible and show you time after time after time after time after time after time where they weren't just saved. I understand the Holy Spirit comes when you get born again. You can't get born again unless the Spirit of God leads you and fills you. There is a difference between that and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's the baptism into the body of Christ. That's salvation. That's 1 Corinthians, I believe it's the 15th chapter. We are baptized into one body. Jesus, when you get born again, you are baptized into the body of Christ. Then there's the baptism in water, the immersion underwater where you are. It is the wedding band of Christianity. Water baptism is the wedding band of Christianity. If I came out here like this, I can't get it off. If I could get my wedding ring off and I came out here like this, I could be married legally and it'd be a very real experience. But nobody would know it. And water baptism is the wedding band of Christianity. It's going public. It's saying, I have been transformed by Jesus Christ, and I'm identifying with his death, burial, and his resurrection, and I want the whole world to see an outward expression of an inward work. This is my wedding band. When I go under this water, I'm slipping the ring on. I'm the bride of Christ. And then there is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's real. That's why he said, John indeed baptized you in water. But there's one coming after you who shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Then in Acts 19, listen to me, look at me. 40 years after the day of Pentecost. The scholars say, read it, check it out yourself. 30 to 40 years after the day of Pentecost. So for those who say, well, that was just for that first little group of the disciples who were in the upper room, that is not correct. And you, again, you have to have a blank page approach. Don't take my word for it. Study yourself. It's 40 years after the day of Pentecost, Acts 19. And Paul asked a question to the people. They were John's converts. They had been baptized in water. They had been baptized into the body of Christ. They were born again. They were believers. They fasted. They prayed. They loved God. And then he asked them this profound question 40 years after the upper room day of Pentecost. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? And they said, we have never heard of the Holy Spirit. They didn't teach us that in our church. We have never heard of what you're talking about. We're saved. We're baptized in water. We have never heard of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And Acts 19, please go home and read it for yourself. It's very clear. And Paul laid his hands on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's in your Bible. I don't have time. I'm closing. But Acts chapter 8. What a revival going on in Samaria. Miracles, signs, wonders, thousands being. The whole city was filled with joy. You would think they've got it all. But the council in Jerusalem met and said, they're missing something. Send Peter and John down to Samaria and have them lay hands on the people that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. and they laid hands on them and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were saved. They were delivered. They were burning witchcraft stuff. They were curious arts and all of that. Fortune. They were burning all that stuff. They were totally delivered. Many demons went out of them, set free, but they were not filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying to you, if you allow it, tradition will rob you of one of the greatest blessings that God has designed. And it's not some option on a car, take it or leave it. Not that you have to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. That is not what I'm saying. But I am saying this. It is a huge, major, massive part of God's plan for the believer. And boy, I don't know about you, but I'm always a candidate to be refilled over and over and over and over. And if you have received it and you've been filled, it shouldn't take you all night to be refilled. Why does it take so much for you to get refilled? Well, you got to be in a Perry Stone camp meeting to even feel anything. Why is that? What's wrong with you? If you're filled, all you need to do is just be refilled. It don't take a whole lot for me. Just give me anything. Just give me the name of Jesus and I can get refilled real quick. All I have to do is start thanking Him for His goodness. And like a river out of my belly will flow a river of living water. So I want to close with this, and that's my last closing. So I'm not weird, you know. I'm not. At least you don't have to amen that, because some of you think I am, whether I am or not. But I had a dream last night. I told Sharice about it. I called Bishop T.F. Tenney. I told him about it, and it was very real. It was a spiritual dream. I never dream hardly, but I had a dream, and God does occasionally speak to me in dreams. And I saw I was in the middle of a combat zone. It was the craziest thing. So vivid and so real. And someone said, I didn't see who it was, run to the bunker. And I ran to the bunker. And I was sitting in a bunker, and it was an air assault, and the bombs were going off. And it had rafters. And when the bombs would hit, the rafters would almost break. And the dust would come, and we thought we were screaming, oh God, it's going to cave in. And I remember sitting there thinking, I knew war was bad, but I didn't know it was this bad. I was terrified. And finally, the bombs stopped. And we came up out of the bunker, whoever was with me. I never saw anybody's face, but I was very aware of what was going on. And we started walking through the rubble. And when I took a step, there was like a puddle of water. And it came up to about my ankles or so. And when I did, out of the rubble of the rocks, a serpent lifted up. And he had a tiny, skinny body, but a big head. And I knew that by the diamond shape of the head, it was venomous. And so I pulled back. And when I did, I tripped and I fell. And when I fell back, it rose up about 7 feet, it looked like. And it started striking at me, and I was dodging, and that translated into the bed. I was dodging and screaming, and I woke up. And again, I'm not super spiritual, but I know when there's a difference. If you've ever had one, there's a difference between a spiritual dream and just a nightmare. This was not a nightmare. This was a spiritual dream, and I knew it. And I immediately began to pray, God, what is this? I knew the serpent was the devil. I knew the bunker had something to do with you better hide yourself. And to me, it spoke of prayer. You better hide yourself in prayer. And I called Bishop Tenney, and I told him this. And boy, the Holy Ghost came on him. And he said, Jensen, I'm going to give you the interpretation. And he said these words. He said, you need to hunker in the bunker and hide yourself in prayer and call the church to prayer. And then he said, notice that when the snake revealed himself, and I told him he's about 3 inches long, but he had a big head. But when you fell down, he shot up. He said, what the interpretation of that is, the devil wants you to think he's a whole lot bigger than he really is. And he said, you will crush his big head. And your church will crush his big head. But he said, it'll only happen if you will hunker in the bunker. Isn't that powerful? And then I thought about our men's prayer meeting where we had 1,000 men. And then I thought about our women's prayer meeting when y'all always outdo us. We had 2,000 women show up for not anything but a night of prayer. And the Lord quickened in my heart. You need to have those prayer meetings about at least every month or every bi-month in the old sanctuary. Bombard heaven and hunker. We're not afraid of the devil, but we're stupid to think. Because our greatest days, and I'm just announcing this big, we're gearing up for some things. Our greatest days are not behind us. We're just now poised to touch this big old world like never before. Come on, church. Come on, church. Wonder what God's got coming, but we better hunker in the bunker. Turn to somebody and say, hide in prayer. Hunker in the bumper and you crush the snake's head. But you got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Let's stand to our feet all over this room. This is for people who... How many of you believe that God could use this church? I don't know how much longer we've got, you know. I don't know when Jesus is coming again. I don't know when I'll be called to go home or anything else. I don't even worry about it. I'm ready. But I will say this, that I believe the most fruitful years of my life are now, over the next, should the Lord tarry, over the next 15 years. I believe we're going to see things that we will say, I wonder how that happened. I need a little faith. If I can just get two or three. Does anybody believe that we could see churches all over this nation, that we could have free chapels, that we could have conferences, that we could see the power of God fall like we've never seen it before? It's time to, I like what you said, give big. Well, those words really went off in me. This is a time for everything to be big. Our faith to be big. Our dreams to be big. Our vision to be big. This is it. We got one shot. This is it. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Wonder how many of you tonight would say, Pastor, I would love to be a part of that army. I want to be filled, refilled, full of the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you've served God for 5 years, 10 years. I don't care if you've been filled, never been filled. If you are hungry to be filled, would you get out of your seat, whether you're in the top balcony or on the main floor? Would you just come stand down here as a symbol to God of, Lord, I am absolutely open, hungry, yearning, wanting the power. And how many of you will give yourself to prayer, that when we call these prayer meetings, that we would have an army? I think it's critical. I think we need to do this because we have a real enemy. We're in a combat zone and we have a serpent snake that would love to kill, steal, and destroy. My family, I know, you know, we've been under attack physically. I've had four of my immediate family. Mom had to go to the hospital. She never goes to the doctor. She had to go to the emergency room. Carissa went to the emergency room. Connor went to the emergency room. Sharice been in the hospital for the last 3 weeks. And the Lord said, you better hunker in the bunker. I'm not afraid of the devil. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but we better awaken our spirits. Do you understand what I'm saying? To prayer. Give ourselves to the Word like never before and say, in the name of Jesus, we will see the victory in every battle, in every warfare. We will crush the serpent's head. How many of you believe we can see it in our homes and in our families, in our nation and in our church? So lift those hands high right now. Let's just begin to worship God. Let's just begin to praise God. Let's just begin to glorify God. Let's just begin to exalt Him. Just begin to praise Him. Ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Right where you're standing, just ask Him to fill you. Just give God a clean slate. Give Him a clean page. Just wipe all the tradition stuff away and say, God, if it's real, I want it. If it's not real, I don't want it. But I'm open. I want what the Bible says I can have. So just begin to worship right there where you are. Just begin to glorify. glorify. Just begin to exalt Jesus. That's what it's all about. The Holy Spirit will exalt Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Let's worship. Come on, singers. Come on out. Let's worship. Let's worship. Let's worship. Lord, we bless you tonight. Just lift those hands high and say, Lord, fill me. Refill me. Refill me. Refill me. Don't wait until the bombs are going off. Get full of the Holy Spirit now. Get mentally alert and awake. Understand that we're in a battle, but we win through the power of the Holy Spirit. Live supernaturally. God, show me the wonders. Show me things that'll make me scratch my head and say, I wonder how that happened. And there could only be one answer to that success. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. It's God the Father. Come on, just worship all over this room. Just worship. Let Him fill you. We're going to lay hands. Pastors, let's just lay hands on people tonight and just speak blessing and prophesy that our sons and our daughters would prophesy and be filled with the Spirit. Give me pastors down here. Give me staff down here. Let's lay hands on our precious people. Be filled with the Spirit.
your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Come on, just sing that, your presence. There's nothing sweeter. Your presence, Lord. Your voice doesn't say, your presence, Lord. Sing it out to Him, your presence, Lord. It's nothing sweeter.
Now right now I want us just to cover this ministry and cover our pastors and cover my family and cover our loved ones and cover your family. I'm going to pray for you and your family. You pray for me and you pray for these pastors and pray for our youth pastors. Pray. Let's pray right now. Let's pray for Gwinnett right now. Let's just fill it with the Holy Spirit right now. Let's just pray right now. We need to have a prayer meeting in that building. Don't forget that, Brian, wherever you are. There needs to be a prayer meeting in that building. Lift your hands up and let's begin to pray one for another. Just reach over and find you a prayer partner. Lay your hand on them. You can live supernaturally. You can live a righteous life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Right now, you can have a mission attached to your life that the Holy Spirit bursts. Ask Him for it. Ask Him for it. We can crush the serpent's head. We can crush it in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, Lord, we believe that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Health and healing. Turn the battle. Turn the battle in 40 days. Hallelujah. Come on, lift those hands and pray in the Holy Ghost all over this room. Pray. When we don't know what we should pray, the Spirit makes intercession. Let Him fill you. Let Him refill you right where you're standing. Let Him the stuff that you've been worried about, pray in the Holy Ghost. The stuff you've been burdened about, pray in the Holy Ghost. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Be set free from every addiction. Be delivered from every bondage. Be delivered from every spirit. Be delivered from every power of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, over our families, our sons and our daughters shall prophesy. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for the name. We pray that building be filled with the glory of God, the cloud of your presence, the fire, the anointing. We pray for this church. We pray for the ministries. We pray for the outreaches all over the world. We pray for Haiti. We pray for the work of God all over this planet, Lord. We pray for a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing of God from this house, from this place. Touch the earth, oh God, in Jesus' name. From these clay hills of Northeast Georgia, let revival, let the Holy Spirit flow like a river. Wherever we go, wherever we are given an inroad, give us the resources, give us finances, Lord. Give us all that we need, I pray. In the name of Jesus, miracles this year. Supernatural miracles, God, of provision and miracles of opportunities and miracles of open doors. We believe you for it. Bless your people. We stand with covenant businesses. Lord, we pray your blessing upon the businesses, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon our jobs and our work and our families and our children and our parents and our marriages. In Jesus' name. 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 Lord, we pray for the Hispanic ministry that will be launching in April. Come on, pray right now. That'll begin weekly services, God, that there would be hundreds and then thousands, hundreds and then quickly thousands of Hispanic people that will be reached in their tongue and in their language. In the name of Jesus, we claim it. Touch Benji, touch his wife, Lord, touch the leadership, touch, oh God, that, and breathe on it. Breathe on Gwinnett, touch Brian, touch his precious wife and family, Lord. We cover them tonight. We cover this young man, Zach, and his wife, and the leadership down there, the children's ministry, all of the ministries, the small groups. We cover them in Jesus' name. We cover them in prayer. We believe, God, that you'll give us good success for thy name and thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's just lift our hands and thank him now. Hallelujah. 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 And while we're at it, let's just all get all healed up. How many of you would love to be healed right here, right now? Just right now, touch somebody on the shoulder and say, in the name of Jesus, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall recover. They shall recover. They shall recover. Brother Tenney told me something else today. He said, all these attacks against your family, he said, it'll all be over from 40 days from the time it started. I said, why 40 days? He said, I don't know. That's just what the Lord told me to tell you. And you hunker in the bunker until the storm passes over. Maybe that's a word for you. Maybe within less than 40 days now, we can see complete turnaround in areas the enemy has attacked you in. How many of you received that prophetic word tonight? In Jesus' name. Woo. Boy, the water's troubled here. Praise God. Don't you love him? Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, you look like you're full of the Holy Spirit. I love you. Go out and witness. You've been too quiet about Jesus. You're talking about stupid stuff. Talk about the Lord. Go tell somebody your walk, your experience. Tell somebody your story and then say, you got to come hear Coach Rick Sunday. That could be the entrance, the beginning. Lord, we pray for a wonderful day here Sunday of soul winning. Jesus' name, we love you. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Bless our children, God. Bless our young people, God. Raise up a mighty army, God. God, we claim thousands and thousands of souls in Gwinnett County. Jesus' mighty name. Just keep praying. Pray that every day. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Glory, 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 glory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Glory, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Franklins will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. As long as there is a Franklin on planet Earth, they will be in the house of the Lord forever. And in eternity, we will live in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. 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 We
bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Oh, la 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 yandere makoshambe asana la 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 mase. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You're our healer, you're our redeemer. You're our deliverer, you're our provider. Yes, you are, yes, you are. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Stir up the gifts, stir up the gifts. Stir it up, Lord, stir it up, Lord, stir it up, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord, have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit, have your way with this church, with our families, this ministry. Oh, man did not build it. Man cannot sustain it. We need thee. Oh, we need thee. We need thee. We need thee, Holy Spirit. We need thee, oh Holy Spirit. Glory, 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 glory. Fill this house with your glory, Lord. Fill this house with your glory, Lord. Fill this house with your glory, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord.